Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globe Trotting program, where we talk travel of different destinations, alhamdulillah, and also some tips and advices on travel. That's the most important thing that we want at the moment when you come to traveling. Lots of people have different experiences all the time. We feel we know everything. But believe me, there are times when you have different experiences which are out of that. And when you get those experiences, you say, wow, this is something new again. So every time when you travel, there's something new that you learn. Alhamdulillah. We've just come out of Ramadan. We've had a fantastic Ramadan, alhamdulillah. When I say fantastic, it's our timing. We had 12 hours. We are so fortunate, we are so blessed that the weather was on our side, the day length was on our side, and what a great way of keeping Rosa also. Our sacrifices were less, because it was like, get up in the morning, it's like normal day's work, come in the evening. Sometimes, you know, I feel that sometimes out of Ramadan, we're keeping more fast out of Ramadan during these times than what we are in Ramadan. Reason being, sometimes in the morning you get up, you probably just have your cup of tea or whatever very early in the morning, just immediately after Fajr, if it may be. And by the time you get home from work, and with the hustle of the traffic and weaving your way through and coming back home, you sometimes reach home at about 6:30, and you probably prepare yourself for supper and so on, which is then at about 7:00, Isha time. So sometimes some people also, because Isha is so early, make Isha and thereafter have supper. So you're even having a longer day. But now in Ramadan, 5:30 to 5:30, done, period. But alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy for many, many people, so many that we spoke to about Ramadan, about this year's Ramadan. They all had a fantastic Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And unfortunately, as we heard, that the masjid on 2nd Avenue in Houghton, and it is so sad. But shukr alhamdulillah that the fire that took place there on the top, very small place, it was contained and it sorted out, alhamdulillah. There's been so many stories going around about that, but Allah knows best. And it was Allah's mercy that nobody was injured, no damage as such to the rest of the masjid, just that one corner. And shukr alhamdulillah, everything has gone back to normal, and our namazas are there on a daily basis, shukr, everything is going on normal. And another thing also, now we're into school holidays. Everybody were looking forward to the school holidays. In the last few years, our school holidays were in Ramadan, so it was a bit difficult for many to go out traveling, going wherever they wanted to go, because obviously Ramadan in school holidays, it's not fair that you would go for a holiday while you're keeping Rosa and so on. You know, it's rather have your Rosa, do it properly, so do it at home. Although you'll find a handful that would say, you know, you are musafir, you can travel and you can go on. Why do that? You have the opportunity once a year to keep Rosa, do it the right way, sit at home and do it. But anyway, we've passed that phase already. School holidays are gone. Now, Ramadan in the school holidays, that is gone now. So now you've got your full school holidays. Many people have started traveling already. Today, there's so many people that are going off because school closed on Thursday, Friday. Many people are now leaving to go for their holidays today, tomorrow. I know of people leaving during the week also, going for their holidays, starting their holidays now. And there's so much of hype at the moment. Now, the best to do is, lots of people that are going up north of the equator, because we have our winters here. So it's not advisable that you go, unless you enjoy the cold, then you'd go down south somewhere. But other than that, lots of people are going up north to the equator, going to different destinations further up, and having a good time further up because of the weather's being hot, being warm there. Lots of people that I know of, lots of friends also in Russia, probably went for the World Cup, but more than that, having a holiday also. Another thing is that we were planning on doing a trip to Russia, but at the moment, during these holidays, the prices are ridiculous because of the World Cup. I don't know if some of you had experiences. I've had some friends that made their bookings for the World Cup in the beginning of the year already. So they said they'll go there, just go see Russia in the first place, and thereafter probably be there, just be in the country at that time. They made their bookings, they paid for accommodation, they had their flights, they got fantastic flight prices early in the year. Alhamdulillah for that. But they made their bookings of their accommodation. And what happened was, a week or 10 days before they could fly out, that was about less than a month, it was in Ramadan, before they could fly out, they get an email to say that your accommodation has been cancelled. I know of somebody that paid 13,000 rands for 4 nights. And they sent him an email, your accommodation is cancelled. We don't have to give any reason because we don't read the fine print, obviously. So anyway, in the fine print it states that they don't have to give reason. So they don't give a reason. They just say they cancelled the accommodation. And they gave them an immediate refund of all the monies that they paid. They gave them the refund and done, period. Now what do you do? You 10 days before, what do you do? Panic. The reason why these people were doing that, this Airbnb and so on, why they were doing that, is they were starting to get bookings from around the world where people were paying up to $20,000, $30,000 for 4 nights, 5 nights. They were getting that value. So they thought if 13,000 rands, which is at $1,000 as compared to $20,000, they cancelled this and people were stranded. I was in the plaza the other day and another gentleman also was standing there and talking. He's saying, listen, this is what happened to us. That happened to them also. So it's been happening. There's no fallback. You can't do anything about that, unfortunately. So we've got to be very, very careful when it comes to those things, who we book with. But that also now, you may be booking with the right company, but who knows what's in the fine print and you get caught out with those things. And then you have a bit of a problem. Allah knows best, Allah protect us all, Allah make it easy for us all, wherever we go, whatever we try to do, whatever destination we want to go to, Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. So you have all these difficulties that you would encounter when it comes to travel. It's not as easy as we think it is. In life, many a times I would say that it's easy to travel. Yes, easy to travel in the sense where you're fixed, you got your package, wherever you're going, you got your passports ready, you go out, you get done, and you're sorted. More than that, technical issues like these, that's where the difficulty comes. Now when you get there, transport is a problem. Because of the place you're going to is now a peak place for holiday at the moment. So for having that, these people don't think of tomorrow. They think of today. We make so much money, we get done, period. Tomorrow come, they're sitting with nothing again. But now they made their money for now. That's how it works. Unfortunately, the world is like that. So all these things, we find many a times people get stranded at airports, people get stranded at hotels. It doesn't only happen during Hajj time. We find that happen many, Hajj time, you know, previously we used to find all that happening. You go to Makkah, you go to Medina, when you come to the hotel, they say, what are you talking of? No booking. It happened. It happened to me. So these things happen in life. What do? But more than that, it happens around the world. It happens at many, many different airports, many different hotels, many different cities. You'll find all these things happening. What do? You can do nothing. That's what I tell you. Because we don't know the laws. When you get to that country, what their hotels are doing, we don't know. They do according to what they want to do for you now to go and fight them. It doesn't help you. By the time you start fighting them, what are you going to do about tonight's accommodation? You're going to fight them now. It's not going to help you. You have to just throw back and go find another hotel and continue with life. That's how it goes. That's the way it is. Anyway, that's when it comes to your accommodation and so on. Now, there are some basic rules when you go to the airport. We find sometimes there are many, many things that irk us. Especially when you're a traveler and you see certain things. And you know what, there are things that irks you. When you go to the airport also, it irks you. First of all, going to the airport, you must go to the airport, be early. Especially like in Johannesburg, our biggest problem, if you are traveling during the day, I would say our biggest problem is the Kilulis interchange. That interchange is so unpredictable that at 9 o'clock, that interchange will be just flowing smoothly where you can fly through the interchange. And at 9:15, you are in a snake of traffic and you are dead stop. What do? That is the most unpredictable interchange, I would say, in the Southern Hemisphere. Because that interchange is so busy. And now that they've made that new flyover bridge, I think that bridge is the worst, because what happens, okay, it's easy to a certain extent, but when there's a truck that is stuck on that bridge, then you got chaos. They didn't think of alternate routes from there, coming from the west, coming from the east, sorry, that when you're taking the N3 highway, when you're coming from the east on the R24, and when you come there, and if a truck is stuck on that bridge on the top, and if they close that bridge, how do you get to the N3 north? There was another road on the side which had the hairpin bend. They closed that road up completely. They didn't think of keeping that road just as an alternative. Keep it closed, but as an alternative, that in the event if anything does happen, they can just open that road and you continue on that road. That did not happen. And I've seen chaotic moves at that particular intersection. And that is a chain effect. On the N3 north, N3 south, you get the R24 west, the R24 west, N12 east. All that just is one gridlock chaos area. Now, when you're going to the airport, if you are coming from anywhere that you have to use that interchange, please leave early. Even if you feel that, you know what, it's during the day, we'll make it, it's not so busy. Believe me, many, many, many people had to then resort to other routes and get late for the airport. I've met many people at the airport that were stranded because of the traffic. When you're going down early in the morning, also going down to the airport, remember the R24 highway is always busy. So make it a point that you leave early. Lots of people are going to be going for Hajj. They're preparing for their Hajj trips. And when they're going also, please leave early for the airport. Now, everyone says they love traveling, but really, they love arriving also? No. No one actually likes the physical act of traveling, because I always say that. You talk of going to Zanzibar, you talk of going to Seychelles, you talk of going to Turkey, wherever it is. The bit of from airport to airport, that is the, I think that's the most frustrating thing that you can get, is to get into that plane and get onto the other side. That is frustrating. As much as many people say that I'd love to just go and sit in the plane and I'd like to go into the plane wherever I go, I want to go into the plane and go across onto the other side just to sit in the plane. Be in the plane and you will find, you find it that many, many, many people, they become very uncomfortable. Not everybody can afford business class where you can go and comfortably sit and relax and sleep and so on. Not everybody can afford that. That's a reality. When you're sitting in the kettle class, when you're sitting in the economy class at the back, you obviously have limitations. You have limited sizes of seats. You have limited space. You are limited to do anything and everything. It's difficult. Not as easy as we think it is just to travel and go in and do what you want to do. When you're sitting in the middle, for example, you have four seats in the middle, and if you are sitting now, seat number two from the aisle, now you want to go to the toilet or anything like that. It's not easy. You got to disturb the person on your right or on your left. That is why if you are diabetic or if you know you have a toilet problem, always request for a seat in the aisle. Don't say, I want a window seat. What you want to look out through the window for? Don't say, I want a window seat all the time. Request for an aisle seat. That's the best. Because you know in your hearts of heart that you do not want to trouble people, but you run 10 times to the toilet. You at the aisle seat, you just get up and move to the toilet. The person next to you may disturb you for a while, maybe once or twice to go to the toilet. That, I think, you can sacrifice, because Allah loves that. You sacrifice. But for you to disturb others, try not to do that. It's not on. I find it many a times, people that know that they run so often to the toilet, sit on the inside, and then they disturb those that are sitting at the aisle seat, and they jump over them, and when they're asleep, you'd find that they push the seat back, and they, like, you know, like, they'll stand on their seat, hold the one hand on the seat, and the other hand they'll hold on the armrest, and they'll jump over and so on. You obviously feel the shakes and you feel the disturbance from the next person. Try not to do that. As Muslims, I think, you know what, we should look at our akhlaq when we're flying, most important. There's many things we should look at, but I'm talking travel, so I'm telling you of this particular issues, which we find is very common. So that is something which I feel that the act of traveling is not as easy as we think it is. Particularly the bit of being crammed into that little fuselage in the plane, right at the back, that is not comfortable. Airports are one long game of stress, rushing from one place to the next, only to find a line there, then you're having to wait, only to pass that line and rush to stand in a new one. Let's all try to be a team next time we're at the airport and make it more comfortable for everyone involved. Don't make it difficult for others. Check-in should set the tone for the rest of the airport experience. That is the most important thing. Because you'd find when you come in for checking, all those long, long queues that you get. Now, when you have all those long queues, try not to cut in and be uncomfortable to others. Unfortunately, I find many people coming up from the Indian subcontinent or from that side, they like to just cut in. That is not fair. And that happens not only here, wherever you go in the world, and you find they come, it's probably culture, that they just come, they don't like to stand in queues. They would just come and just push in, wherever it is, they would like to just push in and come in and push their way forward. That is not fair. And that I find, it is very, very common. I maybe lambasted for what I'm saying, but it's a fact. If you stand at the airport, statistically you stand at the airport and look at these things, you'd find that that is happening. They would just come with a trolley and push forward. Or they would come in, they would stand and talk to you and then stand in the line. Next best thing, after a minute or two, you just see the wife comes with a trolley and she stands in front of you. Done. What do you do? Let us not be that type of people. Let us have decency in us. Let us allow the systems, let us allow to do what is to be done. Stand in a queue, follow the line, go in the way you're supposed to go in and do what you have to do. Even if you're going to go and try and push in front and so on, it's not going to help you. You're all boarding the same flight. All those people that are behind you still have to get on. They're not going to be left behind because they're there already. They're going to get their boarding cards. They are going to go in. They're not going to get left behind. So you're not going to get left behind either. So just stand at the back and come to the front as requested. Do that. Very important. Check-in should set the tone for that experience. By this, we mean that you should start off in an orderly fashion. Be well prepared. Have your passport in your hand, out and ready when you come to the counter. Your flight info already must be either displayed on your phone, which is now very common, or you have your ticket printed out. Sometimes just have it with you in case they ask for it. Normally they wouldn't, they just want your passport. But if they want your flight details, you have your ticket in your hand. Have a separate folder, I would say. Put your passport in there, put your extra two photographs in there, the copies of your passport for while you're at the airport. Put your tickets there. And then also another very important thing, wherever you're flying to these days, whichever country you're going to requires a visa, have your visa in your hand. They're going to ask you for your visa. They now have checkpoints before the check-in counters to see that you are going to a certain destination. Okay, fine, your name is on the list, but that destination requires a visa from you as a South African passport holder. So having that, you obviously need to have your visas. You can't say that, listen, my visas I'm going to get when I arrive. You need visas in advance. They're going to ask you for the copies of your visas. You present your visa, then only they're going to let you go into the queues. You have to do that. So make a copy of the visa. Hold the copy of the visa, your passport, copy of your ticket together. When you get to the counter, you present all that. They'll take what's required and issue your tickets. You can request. Listen, I'm diabetic. I go to toilet probably very often, more often than not. So please, ma'am, or please, sir, can you allow me to sit in the aisle? I would prefer sitting in the aisle. They will gladly do it for you. We're fine. Don't be hard with those people. They have a job to do. You're not the only person that they're dealing with. They're dealing with thousands of people. Probably on the time that you are there, you are probably going on Turkish Airlines, for example. Those people have now already been there for some other airlines, they're sitting behind the counter, which they're probably assisting some other airlines. They're sitting behind the counter. So they're going through hundreds of people. You're not the only person that they're dealing with. So don't think that they owe you because they're working there behind the counter. They owe you to do what you want them to do. They have a job to do. So when they become a little rowdy or a little nasty to you, not nasty as such because it's a job for them, but when they become a little hard and say, this is the rule, you've got to do it like this, you've got to understand. So you be kind to them, and believe me, when you're kind to them, you'd find that they'll bend backwards to do things the way you want it to be done. I find that to be very, very, very often happening. Reason being, when you are polite to them, you come to the counter, you greet them the way you're supposed to greet a human being. Greet them, how are you? Are you fine? Okay, whatever, make some conversation with them. When you do that, perfect, you already broke the ice. When you see, they smile, you smile with them, whatever it is, talk to them, ask them about the flight, is it a full flight, how's the flight, whatever, you know, things like that. That even sometimes when you do that, and when you are overweight by 2, 3, 4, 5 kilos, they will allow you, because they see the kindness in you, they see the akhlaq in you, and they say, fine, you know what, this person is a good person, not a problem, just 2 kilos we'll overlook, or 3 kilos we'll overlook. And they do that for you. But when you become hard, they can become hard too. Do it the right way. Now, if you're traveling with children, you must make sure that you keep the children with you all the time while you're checking in. Before I continue with that part, try and know the estimate weight of your bags. We find many a times people come to the airport and then you'll find them taking out stuff and moving stuff and so on. It happened to me also. But try and have an estimate weight of the bags. You have those small little scales, take a scale with you, weigh your bag, you're sorted, you know the weight of the bag. Perfect. Do that rather. And now, when you're coming in and you got children with you, try to keep your children with you all the time. We're all excited. We're all flying. We're all excited. We're happy. We want to go. We want to get into that plane. That's what we want. The children become agitated. They become rowdy. They just want to run around. Try and have them with you while you're checking in. Have your children next to you. You know, children have the habit of running around. The little, you know those cue poles that you got there? They run around the cue poles. They've got their straps there. And you just see the strap shooting out and knocking somebody else. Try and prevent all that. Because they try to duck under those ropes while they're waiting. And it's sometimes it's disturbing. Oh, they're children, we understand. But sometimes that is disturbing. So it's not fair on others that some people get agitated with children. I myself don't worry. When children play, I love it. I love to see children playing, whatever it is. It's their children, it's fine, let them enjoy themselves. But sometimes there's limits. So that is what is very important to us. We should just be very careful and just try and control them. We all know checking in can be one of the most stressful times in travel, because if you are running late, it could make or break your flight, I would say. Security may let you pass, but if you're late, then you know your bags may not even reach the plane if you are late. So then that becomes a problem. You may not get onto that flight even. So make sure all that is in order. You sort all those things out. Very, very important. And there's so much more that we should learn from when it comes to all these basic things at the airport. Now, how many times have you flown? If that number is more than one, then you should know that by now you know exactly what is going to happen. Rules change, we know, but you should know the basic rules. If there are more than two lines for security checking, do not jump the lines. You know, we have that tendency. You jump that line thinking that this one is quicker and that one is, I'll make it quicker into the line. Your luck, maybe you will be delayed by some other character in the line. Now, when it comes to lots of times when you get your boarding card, now you come to security checkpoint. At that security checkpoint, you have maybe five belts which are checking you out for security. You'll find that there's one line on the right is going quicker, so you'll jump up there. Next best thing, they got somebody that is stopping the line in front because now they got a belt and they got this metal and they got that metal and they got so many things. While they're taking that out, the line on the extreme left is now going quicker. You leave everybody this side and you jump onto the left line. Now when you come there, you have that problem where somebody else is now stuck. What do you do? So just stay where you are. Why be like a nervous wreck and jump from line to line? You're still going to go in. Just stand where you are and you will get through onto the other side. Take it easy. Think of it as your duty to break those stereotypes so we can all be great, quick travelers. For example, they say you can leave your belt on. Many a time you'll find you can leave your belt on, not a problem. But if your belt has a piece of metal, the buckle is a metal, that makes the machine go off half the time. Rather than letting that alarm beep all the time, undo your belt, push it in your bag. You're obviously not going to have a trouser that's going to fall off immediately. You can just walk through there and then put the belt on again. So undo your belt. Or as many a times, like the belt I use has just got a clip on the one side. So I just undo the clip of the buckle, remove the buckle and push the buckle in my hand luggage. That's what I do. And then what you should do is remove all metal stuff that you have on you. Simple. So it doesn't slow down the process. Take off your belt, remove your watch, take your cell phone, take your coins, take your keys, take your metal pen, whatever you have, take it. In your hand luggage, you have a small little pocket on the side. Push it in that side pocket. Let it go in there, so you have no metal on you. So when you walk through that detectors, you walk smoothly, no beeps. They don't have to stop you or anything and send you back out again. When you come onto the other side, from your hand luggage, you just take out whatever you put into there, take it out, put it back onto yourself, and you continue from there. Simple as that. We will continue right after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globetrotting program. And as you heard, we're talking about traveling to the airport, going to the airport from your home and getting to the counters, going beyond the counters and so on. There's rules, there's etiquettes and so on. Very important. So when it comes to all these rules, we should abide by it. Our website address, www.globetrotting.co.za. It's www.globetrotting.co.za. And our Instagram page is Globetrotting25. You can follow us on Globetrotting25, share some of our experiences, our travel experiences also. We do keep it on there. Our luck, I managed to get hold of Zakaria Pandor and I got hold of Farhad Kotwal. And they are out in Russia. And we just spoke about going to Russia and so on earlier on. And we can share some of our experiences with them while they are there. The two guys went out and they flew into Russia. They hired a car and they're driving around. I spoke to them earlier on and it was such an experience. And alhamdulillah, I asked them if they can share some of their experiences, live experiences while they are there. And they prepared to talk to us. And this is something so interesting. And when I was talking to them earlier on, I'm so envious for what they're doing on that side. It sounds like it's just so much of fun to be there at the moment. We do have Brother Zakaria. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All the way from Russia, Brother Zakaria.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And salam to the listeners of Radio Islam. Allah shukar, Allah ta'ala has given us the opportunity once again to travel and see the different parts of the world. And as we're speaking, Allah ta'ala has brought us to Russia. And we are in a city called Novgorod at the moment. And what can I say, Muhammad? Russia is a very, 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 very beautiful country. A very, very huge country. Where do I start, Muhammad? How do I say? Russia itself, from the east to the west, I've been speaking to the local people, and you wouldn't believe, Russia has 14 different time zones. So you can imagine the size of Russia.
14? You said 14 time zones in one country?
40 different time zones in one country, flying from the east to the west, 14 hours, 14 different time zones. So you can imagine the size of this country. And how do I say, Muhammad, as I say, I'm going to say it again, definitely very, very, very beautiful country. We left, myself and my friend Muhammad Farhad, Kotwal from Roshni, we left on the 19th of this month. And we've done some homework before leaving. We've done some online bookings. But at the moment, with the World Cup going on in Russia, obviously the prices, everything has been inflated. Hotel accommodation, Airbnb, etc. Everything is skyrocket. Was worth the amount of tourists from all different parts of the world. And we did have one, two instances where we did bookings. And our hotel accommodation, Airbnb accommodation was confirmed. And last minute, people were cancelling because they were seeing that, getting 2,000 or 3,000 rand for the room. And being the World Cup time, they can get 3 or 4 or 5 times the amount. So yeah, we did have some difficulty with people cancelling, last minute cancelling our accommodation. But Allah shukar, we are here now. And we did find some accommodation.
Alhamdulillah.
Experience on its own.
So you landed in Moscow. You say you left on the 19th and you landed in Moscow.
Gee, that's it, Mohammed.
And
Moscow, definitely a very, very, very huge city. It has 12 lanes, Mohammed, unlike any other part of the world. 12 lanes for driving. So you can imagine how big Moscow alone is. They say from one end of Moscow to the other end, approximately 200 kilometers plus.
Oh,
so it's like
oh.
Driving, example, from Ferdinand to the other side, Pretoria, and you're still in Moscow. So that's how big Moscow is. And obviously many, many things to see. The famous being the Red Square, and obviously the pictures that is painted all over the world of Moscow, obviously the Kremlin. just something to see. Obviously, it's got nothing to do with the Dean or anything of that sort. But obviously, it's a famous landmark of Moscow, the Red Square and the Kremlin. And as I say, we haven't touched the iceberg of seeing things in Moscow. As I said, it is so huge.
Yeah.
And spent us 2 or 3 days in Moscow. And then we had the opportunity of flying north towards St. Petersburg, which is the far north end of Moscow. And a very, very beautiful city. If I can explain it or I can describe it, it's like a like Venice in Russia. So that's what St. Petersburg looks like. And very, very long days. The sun sets really, really late. Maghrib, approximately 10:30, that is the time of Maghrib. And sun rises definitely very early as well. By 2:15, it's the time of Fajr Salah.
Maghrib at 10:30, sunrise at 2. Then your Isha is at midnight.
At midnight is Isha time, so Allah give the people himmat and all the Muslims of Russia who went through the month of Ramadan. Really, it's very, very tough, Muhammad.
So with Maghrib, with Maghrib wuzu, you can make Fajr?
Definitely, you can make Fajr Salah, and that's it, Muhammad. There's so little time. With the same wuzu, you read your Isha and you read your Fajr and you make Sari and that's it. Many, many hours of sunlight. So Allah has given us the opportunity to see St. Petersburg as well.
So,
and as I said, it's a very
at the moment, are you driving or are you using, what transport are you using there?
The transport system in Russia is excellent. It's world-class. The tram lines, the metro, the buses, electric trams, the electric buses, so many different modes of transport. What we did is when we landed in Moscow, we hired a car. It's a bit difficult driving on the in Russia, definitely world-class trams, buses, metro systems, electric buses, electric trams, taxis, you name it, the transport system is definitely top-notch, you know, it's got excellent system. But we had opportunity of hiring a car. For us, driving on the left-hand side of the road, left-hand drive cars with the many, many lanes. But Allah shukar, we are managing, and obviously the signage and the people are very helpful. So moving around, it's not that difficult, but obviously try not taking the wrong turn, because as I said, Moscow is so huge, you make one wrong turn and to get back to where you need to go takes you another 15, 20 minutes.
Sure.
But definitely an experience on its own.
So the country as a whole, the country as it's obviously you'll be able to notice the differences that they made, even though you were not there, the changes that they made for World Cup, and you can see the original country itself. So are there huge differences, or the country, the beauty of the country as you see the way it is, is still the same as obviously what it would be?
Most definitely, Mohammed. The country on its own. Besides the World Cup being held in Russia, definitely very, very beautiful. As I said, the road systems, the country, the building, the people, everything is world class, Mohammed. Definitely very, 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 very unique and different experience.
Alhamdulillah. I don't want to take much of your time also, but just briefly, if you say you went for the World Cup, you had a game out in Moscow. When you the other game that you're flying out to, what's the distances like?
Mohammed, as I said, the first game was in Moscow itself, and then the second game the second place we visited was St. Petersburg, which is about approximately 1,600 kilometers from Moscow. Obviously, there's different modes of transport. The speed train can be used. You can drive down if a person wants to really drive down if he has enough time. Obviously, there are flights available as well. So to get from place to place, definitely not difficult. But as I said, very, very organized. And at the moment, we are in a city called Nizhny Novgorod, which is approximately 450 kilometers away from Moscow. And what we did is we've driven from Moscow to Nizhny Novgorod, which is about a 5.5-6 hour drive, but definitely very, very beautiful driving through the countryside and seeing the natural and the original countryside of Russia, which is, as I said, definitely very beautiful.
Alhamdulillah. I hope you have a great time. You have a fantastic time. Lots of Muslims. Are you meeting many Muslims there at the moment?
At the moment, what's speaking to the local Muslim people in Russia, there are approximately 28 to 30 million Muslims in Russia, so there are quite a lot of Muslims in Russia. But as I said, being to all these tourist places and with the World Cup being around, we are not bumping into really, Muslims from across the world. As I said, more tourists coming for the World Cup here.
And what's the food situation like there when it comes to halal? Having so many Muslims, obviously, I don't think food is a problem.
Food in Moscow, as I said, Mohammed, Moscow is so big. There are one, two places which do have halal, but it's not freely available, thinking that there are 38 million Muslims and that in every corner we're going to find halal restaurants. It is a bit difficult, but it is available as well.
Ah, okay, alhamdulillah. Brother, it was nice talking to you. Can I have a word with Farhad maybe and share some of his experiences?
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah, brother Zakaria.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Farhad. Mr. Freddy, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, all good, my brother.
Are you enjoying Russia at the moment? I can hear it. In fact, the messages that you're sending us, I can see you really enjoying Russia.
Russia, what can I say? What a beautiful country. And more than that, the people are... I was really convinced that the people were not very warm, not very hospitable, but really a different outlook since I've reached here. And especially to the Muslim, the Russian Muslim people that we've met, especially Hafez Shiraz Kaka's son-in-law, Dr. Uthman, and his daughter, that has settled down here in Moscow. She's got married to Uthman, who is a local. The people that we've met really went out of their way to accommodate us in every sense, in trying to get us the best deals, in trying to get us to the airport, in trying to find us halal food. Really, I was very impressed with the local people, the local Muslim people. Really, I was really impressed. And as far as the place goes, Russia and Moscow itself is a world-class country. World-class city. Everything. And safe. The safety I find to be the most important thing for any tourist.
Gee.
And they, top-notch. Five marks out of five for
security.
For safety.
Alhamdulillah. So, but what the language problem? Do you have obviously there's Russian there. What's the language? Is there a language issue there, language problem for you?
There is a language area between the locals and foreigners. Especially if you're going more out of Moscow, you won't find people speaking that much of English.
Right.
But in Moscow itself, not a problem, not as bad. You can get your way around.
Right, and I see you, the driver there, you handling the road, so are you managing?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm, you know, it's the first time I've ever driven on a left-hand side of the road, but alhamdulillah, you know.
You're managing.
You know, and Abdakaria, his iman is so strong, and wherever his yakin is so strong, and wherever he goes, he says, don't worry, Allah's help is with us.
Alhamdulillah.
And alhamdulillah, speaking from with the time we landed, everything has just fallen into place.
Alhamdulillah.
Everything just fallen into place, alhamdulillah. So we're having a very, very good experience, a very good time. And as far as the weather is concerned, Moscow and the other city near Moscow in Novgorod, very, very, the weather is excellent. In St. Petersburg, you find because it's closer to Finland and closer to Norway, it's much more colder because it's much it's north.
Oh, great!
So you find it is cold, even though it's summer. You have weather between 16 and 22.
Oh, okay. That is up north. That's up north you're talking of.
Yes.
So, what's your temperatures like in Russia, in Moscow at the moment? Moscow, and you're looking at the surroundings. What's the temperature like?
Between 22 and 26, And in Novgorod, even warmer, it's between 25 and 32.
Also, not so bad. You got good weathers, so we can withstand those weathers. Although it's a midsummer, your weathers are fantastic.
Very, very nice weather. Excellent weather. And as far as St. Petersburg goes, what a beautiful city. Honestly, world class also. Really, and you know, we, like Hafiz Zakaria said, we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg in this country.
Yes.
And really a place that we definitely thinking of coming back.
You know, since you're saying that Usman, Hafiz Siraj's son-in-law Usman and Bibi are there, you're tempting me now to at least go there for tours and do tours in Russia, because obviously we know that we're going to get halal food around there where Usman can organize halal food for us. And I think what you should do while you are there, give us first an experience of where to go and what to do, and we come back and we put that together and we can at least take some of our people to visit that place and meet the Russian people on that side and see the beauty of Russia.
It's definitely something that you should think about it, Muhammad, to bring people to this beautiful country. Really, I think it's something that you should really think about, and the people will love this country, especially South African Indians.
Gee.
Will love this place. Very, very, very beautiful.
Like Zakaria, I think food is a bit of an issue, but I think if you got Usman there, they can probably arrange something properly for us, halal food and so on, so that won't be a problem then.
You know, talking of food and a problem with food, you're taking tours to Vietnam, which were also a problem with food, but all your tours, there wasn't a problem with food. So you and your organization will definitely sort out something for the listeners and the travelers.
Inshallah. But more than that, now the country itself, obviously, you know, from what we know, being a communist country, the way things work there, clockwork and so on, is there no difficulty when you reach the airport? Wasn't there issues or anything, or some problems that you had, you being, you know, both of you having big beards and so on, getting into the country? Was there any issues regarding that?
Not really. Really, to tell you the truth, first of all, South Africans do not need any visas to visit Russia.
Right.
And when you come, like any other country, they do their checks on people. But very accommodating and very helpful and very pleasant.
Alhamdulillah. So you are having a fantastic time.
And not one hiccup as far as security or as far as police or, called us aside and searched us or asked us questions or anything. Nothing like that. Nothing like that.
Alhamdulillah. So, the way you're making it sound, you're tempting me for the next holiday. I should also just go and visit Russia and go see what's it like. But it sounds like a fantastic place, huh?
Yeah, I think you should think about it.
Inshallah. I hope you guys have a good time, inshallah. When do you return to South Africa?
We're actually on our way to watch the game between England and Panama.
Okay.
And so, alhamdulillah, we're on our way now. So, unfortunately, we have to cut this a bit short.
No, not a problem. Not a problem. Allah make it easy for you, inshallah. I hope you have a good time. Like I always said, and even before we left, I don't have to tell you, Hafiz Zakaria knows best, you know best. Your deen is most important, your salat is most important. Like you always tell us whenever we travel, salat comes first. So alhamdulillah, I'm pleased. And Allah make it easy for you. Allah let you have everything what you want, the way you want it there. For both of you, have a good time, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much, Muhammad.
Jazakallah, my brother. Allah make it easy. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was a brother Farhad Kotwal and Zakaria Pandor from Roshni. They landed up in Moscow for the World Cup and so on. So they're having, you heard the whole story, alhamdulillah. It sounds fantastic. Inshallah, we'll look into that and see how it goes. But more than that, I'm so excited for them, for what's happening there. We had to talk so much about airport. I was talking about the airport, getting to the airport, what to do, because things that irk others. All that we were talking about. And I think what I'll do is the rest of it, we will continue with it maybe next week sometime. I had to get this call in because these brothers are live at the moment in Russia. So it was most appropriate to talk to them while they're in Russia, talk to them about Russia, talk to them about their experience in the country itself. our notion, we always have these notions in life, that when you go to certain countries, when you hear about a certain country, you always say that that country may be difficult because of their policies, because of their military policies and so on. All that, sometimes we should overlook those things, because you as a tourist that go to certain countries, when you go to the country, you, it's going to be different for you because you're a tourist. That what we read in the news, that what the media brings to us, is only political. And it's political in a sense where those people experience within themselves what is going on. From the outside, as a tourist, you have your tourist places that you're going to. You as a tourist come into the country, they would treat you as a tourist because they love tourists to come to certain countries or to their own country because it creates employment, brings wealth into the country and so on. Only South Africa thinks otherwise sometimes. Sometimes you feel like that when they talk. When they talk certain things and they say that they don't need tourists to come here or they don't need things like that. You know what? Only South Africa probably thinks like that. But the rest of the world love it when tourists come there because you see how they treat tourists. They don't rob tourist buses. They don't rob tourists coming from the airport to the hotels. They don't rob them because they know they got dollars. They don't really do that as such. You'd find maybe an exception in the world. But more common is where they would welcome the tourists and they would look after the tourists. That's what happens. Now, Russia, I wouldn't have expected Russia to be such a great country to visit for listening and knowing what Russia was all about when it came to communism and so on. But Russia is from what we hear now and what we gather, Russia is a beautiful place. Russia is lovely. It's a place that you can go for a holiday. They're driving down. Zakaria and Farhad are driving. They hired a car and they're driving around there. That's not so difficult, that means. So it's an easy country to go to. Like that, there's many other countries that when we visit, we should think about those things. But alhamdulillah, it was nice chatting to these brothers while they're in Russia, getting first-hand information from them while they're in Russia. Beautiful. Like they said, food is only a problem. Many countries in the world, food is a bit of a problem. But inshallah, Allah make it easy for us all and things must change. And there's great awareness of halal travel around the world. So maybe that will change things, inshallah. So that's the way it is. You can follow us on our Instagram handle. It's Globetrotting25. It's Globetrotting, GLOBETROTTING. Globetrotting and the number 25, Instagram. And our website you can visit, www.globetrotting.co.za. It's still under construction, but we've got a bit of information on there. But we'll add more information. I'm trying to set up information of all the different embassies that are in this country, all the embassies' details. So for you to, if you need to get any telephone number or address or ambassador's name of any of the countries, embassies that are in this country, the high commissions that are in this country, you one click on www.globetrotting.co.za and you go into embassies on it's in alphabetical order, which I'm still busy with. We've done most of it already, and you can just click on there and get the information. So you need not search for that particular country, look for the details and so on. It's all with the telephone number on the website. So we're trying to set that up also, so it makes it easier for you, inshallah. So let's see what happens for the maybe next week we'll continue with the topic that we were talking of, and we'll discuss that further about the airports and so on. Like I said, we had to take this Russian call, and it was so beautiful. Inshallah, we'll from myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.